This is RootsPod.
Here's Rodriguez for the Roots. He's going to let one fly. Oh, my. It's a Rodriguez rocket.
Welcome into RootsPod. This is Aaron, and I'll be joined by John, Peter, and a very special guest in just a moment. Well, this week finally saw things turn for the better for the Oakland Roots. They ended the week on a nasty three-game skid, but finally found some much-needed success against bottom-of-the-table El Paso in a league fixture this past weekend. Although El Paso would take a 2-1 lead into the break after getting and converting a penalty and having an Amando Moreno shot deflect into the goal. A Johnny Rodriguez wonder goal would level the score just after the half, and he would convert a penalty just a few minutes later that would put Oakland up for good as they took all 3 points in a very cathartic 3-2 win against El Paso. Roots returned home for a Tuesday cup tie with San Francisco's El Farolito SC, and this one actually also got off to a rocky start with a Denver Benson header giving El Farolito an early lead. But the young lineup that the Roots ran out ultimately would get the job done. Just before halftime, just into first half stoppage time, in fact, Ily Alexiev would assist a Memo Diaz header for the equalizing goal. And then Roots debutant Ali Elmasnoui would bag the winning goal in extra time after a Justin Rasmussen cross into the box was controlled and by Trayvon Reed. And then Tim Sorrell, making his first appearance for the Roots this season in goal, would make a great save in the 104th minute to secure the win. Now make sure you check out John's coverage of both matches at OaklandRootsBlog.com. Earlier this week, we welcomed Oakland Roots center back Camden Riley into our virtual studio to talk about his soccer journey and what he thinks that the Roots can achieve this year. Here is that interview. All right, we're here with a special Roots Pod segment, a Roots Pod interview of Camden Riley, one of the new defenders for the Oakland Roots here in the 2024 season. First of all, Camden, thank you for agreeing to associate yourself with this podcast. I know you're taking a lot of risk with your professional reputation there, so we really appreciate your being here virtually. Let me just start off by asking you how you have found your time with the Oakland Roots and, what you're excited for the rest of the season.
Oh, first of all, I just want to say thank y'all for having me on. I think, it's something I'm really excited about and, y'all do some really good stuff. So I'm super excited to be a part of it.
Appreciate you saying that.
But no, I think, since I've been here, I've been welcomed with open arms and I'm super grateful for that. The people here in Oakland, the community, the team, especially, the club, it's been great. I think there's a lot of positive things going on around the club and, it's just really exciting.
John, you're the only real journalist here. Why don't you step up to the plate next?
That's me, Camden. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Hope all is well. So, digging up on you, we saw you grew up in Dallas, and me, I'm a prep sports writer here in the Bay Area. I cover a lot of high school sports. And one thing I know about Texas is they do high school football just differently out there. So I thought I'd ask you, just what was it like growing up playing soccer in football country?
It's interesting. That's actually a fantastic question. It really is interesting. It's super cool because Friday Night Lights, everyone goes to the game. We're filling stadiums of 10,000+ people every Friday. And I think that was really, really cool. I used to be able to go to a football game and watch Kyler Murray play. And he'd play one quarter on us and then they'd be up 28 points and then he'd sit the rest of the game, but still get to see him play. And I think that was really cool. And everyone gets behind the football. It's so popular. As well as, I grew up in the biggest district. Our district is 6A+. So we're talking about massive schools, lots of students, a lot of backing. But I think what was really cool about Flower Mound High School, where I went to school, was we actually had a quite good following for our soccer team. And the thing that was also unfortunate about soccer is it's January when we play soccer in for high school in Texas. So it's freezing, it's sleeting rain, and you know, we actually have a couple hundred people there. And so I think that was really cool. Really, really cool. But you know, you're right. Everyone talks about football, everyone thinks about football. And I think that it was a cool experience for us to have, you know, big football teams around, but also still get a good following.
But why soccer then?
Why soccer? Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. My dad played soccer growing up and played in college as well at the University of North Texas. And my mom grew up a tennis player and she played at the University of North Texas as well. And so when I was born, I kind of gravitated towards a soccer ball. I tried to give me a piano to play and I never wanted anything to do with it. And so anytime there's a soccer ball in front of me, I was there and I was ready to go. I think I just fell in love with it at a young age. And I also, actually, funny story, I also used to play ice hockey. Played ice hockey.
Classic Texas sport.
both soccer and ice hockey, two classic sports. Loved playing ice hockey as well. It was always secondary, but loved it. Played it from 6 to 16.
So Dallas Stars over Dallas Cowboys for you?
For me, yes. For me, yes. I'm a big Stars fan. But I do back all of my Dallas teams. Cowboys, Stars, Mavericks, FC Dallas. All of my Dallas teams.
So I may be going into a biased opinion here, but what Texas barbecue compared to barbecue out here, have you explored? I mean, I'm sure it's a tough one there.
I'm loyal to my Texas barbecue. There's nothing like it. Nothing like a chopped brisket sandwich at Rudy's with, and you can get gas after if you need it. And it's fantastic. A little gas station barbecue joint. Fantastic. So I'm actually excited. There may or may not be some content coming out about Camden Riley eating barbecue in Oakland. So,
ooh.
Don't want to give too much away though.
We got the teaser exclusive here on Roots Blog.
We might have to run that by the marketing crew.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, now going further, I know you went to UOP. 2015 was a one-win season, I saw. Yeah. But then after that, three straight bursts into the NCAA tournament, make it to the second round. So you really saw firsthand at building a college program, a Division I college program. Just talk about your time there and helping build that.
Funny story. I actually only came to one tournament in California, and it was Surf Cup. And after Surf Cup, I had interest from Air Force Academy. And then I got an email from this school called the University of the Pacific. I said, what's that? I had no idea. Looked it up. I was like, oh, California? This is great. Stockton. I had no idea it was Stockton, right?
You thought you were going to be at the beach, huh?
I was going to be in the beach, you know, chilling, hanging out by the palm trees. Very different. But, you know, it was cool. I wasn't heavily recruited going into college. And so it kind of came down to those two schools. And I really believed in what Ryan Jordan and, you know, actually formerly Jordan Farrell at Pacific, I believed in what they were doing. And so I had committed during the fall season and I went to go watch a game. And I remember this specifically. They're playing away at USF in conference. And I think they had won one game. And they went and it's 3-0 within 8 minutes of the game, right at the start. And I was like, holy crap, what did I just commit to? What did I just choose to go to? And turns out I got to campus as a freshman and, you know, the group of guys was really special, right? And that first year, I think we lost by one goal, like in 9 of the games. So we were in every game. It was just about making that jump to the next level. And so during that freshman year, I actually battled with a couple of injuries. I had a concussion So I was out for most of the freshman year until conference. And so just kind of adjusting to the speed of play at Division I is a big, big learning curve, right? There's a big learning curve associated with that. And I think that, you know, once we had those, that 2014 before I was there, and then the 2015 when I was there my freshman year, that following year, 2016, we could kind of put it all together. And with a couple of key additions, we did it. And it was nobody, we all expected it, but we couldn't believe it, right? You go, and in 2016, we were ranked, I think, like 17 at some point. And we're all looking around, we're like, well, we believe in what we're doing, but it's crazy that we've had this crazy turnaround. And so I think that was really interesting. And credit to all the people around and staff and the teammates. I have a bunch of lifelong friends from Pacific, and it was super special. And I think that was a very unique experience at Pacific in Stockton with that group of guys.
You scored 19 goals, 10 assists there. You know, I think that was the all-time record there. Not bad.
Yeah.
But you're a defender now, you know, so I'm assuming you were a forward at some time.
So I used to play, I played more of a number 8, kind of 10 role, like a box-to-box midfielder, attacking midfielder role. And, you know, I think it was crazy. It's crazy to look back now and see that I have the record. I have the most number of points in Pacific history. Never would have imagined that. Never would have imagined it. And I think that, you know, give credit to the people around me. I think that they really helped me. They helped me shine. But yeah, I think that senior year, I kind of grew into things. And during conference, my senior year, I think I had like 5 goals or something like that in 7 games. And so that was really, really, really fun. And yeah, I just kind of enjoyed it. And then, you know, now I'm a defender, and it's exciting to be on the other side of the ball. So learn a lot.
When I've been doing research for the blog, I find that, like, at any given NCAA tournament, like, all I've heard of every player, like a player on every team. Was your experience like playing in the tournament and now sort of into USL, like, you'll like look and see that guys that you played against in college are getting signed by other USL teams?
Oh yeah. I think that's a really cool part to the professional athletic scene, right? Going through Division I, playing against top programs like Stanford, you know, a lot of WCC programs like USD, LMU, they're top programs. And it's fun to see guys that you've played against back when you were 18, 19, 20 and see them progress to the pros. What's also really cool about the college season and what formerly was PDL and now is USL2 is playing over the summer with guys from other universities and just kind of getting together and doing that. So, for example, my sophomore year, I played with Burlingame Dragons and played with the likes of Corey Baird and Tristan Blackman, who I was with at UOP. And just kind of seeing those players progress and go and get signed and have, you know, good careers is really cool. And to know that now that I've spent, this is my 6th season, I know at least a player on every single team. And so it's a cool experience because you get to kind of catch up and get insight to, you know, how they're doing, how the club is, you know, you just kind of understand soccer as a whole. And so that was, it's a really cool experience. You know, also my experience with Portland Timbers U23, that going into my senior year was a lot of fun. There's a lot of players who went from that team to play professionally, Benji Michelle, Ray Ortiz, and a bunch of others.
We were noticing with Burlingame Dragons that you were there a year after Oakland Roots legend Paul Blanchett.
That is correct. I missed him. I missed him by one summer. But that year before, they did really well. And so we got to play. I got to play. So in USPD, former PDL, you would qualify for Open Cup from the previous year's good doing, right? And so I got to play at Open Cup, which was a really cool experience. Played against Reno. And I think, if I remember correctly, it was a crazy scoreline, like 5-3 or 7-3 or something like that.
Well, you know, you brought it up there. You know, you've been in this league for a while now. You know, since getting drafted by KC, you've played, you know, almost 7,000 minutes in the league. Just what have you learned about playing in the USL Championship just over the span of your career here?
I've learned that the USL Championship is full of so many talented players. The level of the USL Championship is so incredibly high. And, you know, I've been playing since 2019, right? And to see how much the league has progressed in that time period is also incredible, right? And I think that what I like most about USL is how exciting the games are. It's back and forth. It's attacking football, playing on the front foot. And I really, really enjoy that. It's something that I enjoy as a soccer player, right? I'm not necessarily the type to sit back and park the bus and, you know, play a more calculated game or things like that. I kind of like that it's open and exciting. And I think that really, yeah, I think the talent of the league is really what surprises me every single year. And to see some top players playing in the USL is really cool.
That's been our feeling watching the Roots over the last several years, is that we can see how like each iteration of the team is better than the one before it. Mm-hmm. And yet they're still, you know, struggling to like work their way into the top tier of teams because everyone else is getting so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's certainly a common thing. And I think that just shows the strength of the league and where the league is headed. Right. I think that's super positive. Cause that's all you can ask for, right? You want proper competition like that, that every team is getting better, and it should be more difficult to get to be a perennial team who's, you know, sitting in first, second, third place every year. That should be difficult, and it is. And so the more that we continue to push the talent and push the level, the faster the league grows.
You know, and, you know, talking about your time now at San Diego, you know, that was one of the more successful organizations in recent memory in the USL Championship, yet it still folded. Yeah. You know, from your perspective, being a player on there, just what was that last season like for you, just to see it all unfold?
It's a unique experience. It's a unique experience to know that your team is done at the end of the year, right? And I think it's unique in the fact that you know that it's happening. So every training session you go to, every game that you play, you're playing it with the knowledge that the team won't exist, that your friends, your brothers, everyone that you care about, the staff as well, they are also feeling the same thing, right? And so I think that was the beauty of it. We got to go and we got to forget about everything else and just enjoy. And so I think that gets lost a lot of the times in life in general, and especially in sports. People, we act like our careers will last forever, and the career is very tough, and it's hard to last long in these professions. And so I think that's something that I learned a lot about, is just, you know, enjoying every day. And I try and say, I don't know if you could see on our social media posts, I'm always posting that life is good, right? I'm just out here to enjoy and, you know, play the game that I love. But certainly a unique experience.
You know, and not just that, but you were also a former member of RGV, which was another team that ceased operations. Just from your perspective, just what's your opinion on what the league needs to do to keep building the successful landscape for soccer in this country?
Well, I think we opened a can of worms with my response, but I think that having an ability to have some sort of merit-based competition structure with promotion and relegation is a wonderful idea to me. I think it's great. I think it brings just that much more enthusiasm, that much more pressure in a sense, right? And just competition. And I think we've seen the model work in every other country in the world. Now there are some challenges imposed, right? the geography of the country. We would have to play the teams a certain amount of times, but I think that there's positive talks going on about possibly implementing that. And I think that's the only way to truly avoid it, is to, you know, have some sort of merit-based competition where owners and everyone in the community is really invested in the team, right? So the team doesn't have that ability to go under, right? There's more finances, because a lot of it comes down to the finances. And it's tough because an MLS team came into San Diego and bought a spot in MLS for $500 million. And they ran us out. We tried to seek options to build facilities and do all of these things. But, you know, at the end of the day, they ended up just running us out of town. And I think that's the unfortunate part, is they kind of just bought a ticket in. And, you know, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but I do really like the idea of promotion and relegation. I think that would be an interesting thing for the league.
I think anybody whose feathers are going to be ruffled by a pro-rel discussion has already had them ruffled by this podcast. So.
We're a pro promotion relegation podcast. Yeah.
Good.
So let's bring it back to something slightly lighter. Now that we've solved all the problems in US soccer. we touched a little bit on the fact that you played an advanced midfield role and now you're all the way at the back. What was the transition like? And I mean, do you ever think about playing further forward ever again? I mean, is that still like something you watch guys on the field and you're like, oh, that's not what I would do?
that's a fantastic question, because I think there's always some sort of lingering thought about it. But with that being said, I think that my specific role in this team and in previous teams at the back is something that suits my strengths. Originally, when the conversation came up, it was mostly about transitioning to center back, because I had a lot of qualities that would translate to professional sports, in terms of, you know, my height, my skill set, to being a ball playing center back. And so I think that there is a niche for me there. But yeah, of course, I want to score some goals. Who doesn't want to score goals? So I think that it's interesting, but it also helps me. It helps me become more knowledgeable as to, you know, where I would want the ball to be played to me from a center back, you know, when I was playing in the midfield and playing up top, right? And I think that has helped me to guide my thinking and be really positive about it. And it's taken me a while to grow into the center back role. When I first started in 2019, we at Sporting 2, we were so talented, but we were young and we made young player mistakes, right? And I think that process helped me grow a lot as a player, because I learned that, you know, you can't make those mistakes as a center back in a professional environment. They'll punish you. So I thought it's been an interesting path, but I feel happy and comfortable. I love playing center back. I think it's great.
Are there players that you like watch film of, or like if you turn on a Premier League game, are there players that you're going to like watch instead of following the ball to learn from?
Yes. I think that definitely, when I was growing up, I was watching a lot of midfielders and forwards. But now that I've evolved into the professional game, I watch actually a lot of center backs. I really like William Saliba. I'm an Arsenal fan. So.
Oh, man, you've just made
Suck Peter's it, John.
Yeah. So I've been an Arsenal fan since you know, 2003, you know, Thierry Henry, Robert Perez, Freddie Ljungberg, you know, all those guys, Patrick Vieira. I used to have a CD growing up with 100 Thierry Henry goals and 100 Dennis Bergkamp goals. That's and I could beautiful. Literally recite it. I could have watched it countless times. And I used to love going in my friend's car, because they had the TV that popped down and you could play the DVD while you were driving. And
that was the height of technology in like 1999.
Yes.
So you were the most popular kid in school if your parents had
that. And with an Arsenal goal highlight reel. I mean, what a life.
Could not ask for anything better. It was just every single day. Team Dynamo. Shout out Team Dynamo. We would go to Team Dynamo games and watch that, and then go. We would beat teams like 10-0.
No, Saliba is a good shout. I mean, he's a great player, even if you aren't an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, yes.
You're about to say something mildly critical of William Saliba, Peter.
Me? No. It
seems unlikely.
I can't even think of a critical thing to say about him. He's perfect.
Yeah, so I think that actually when I watch games now, I'm watching tactics more than anything. How teams are playing. I really enjoy watching Arsenal play. I enjoy watching City play as much as I hate to say it. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of excitement, you know, around a lot of these top teams. They're playing, you know, football on the front foot, and it's exciting to watch. And I think what really connected it all was playing against Dortmund last year. What an incredible experience.
Who played for Dortmund in that game?
All of their starters. Just about, yeah. I think they had, yeah, back four was Wolf, Hummels, Schüle, and, oh, I can't remember the left back or the right back. But then Amir Khan, Marco Reus, Julian Brandt in midfield, and then Adeyemi. And then I think they had Haller was on the bench. A starting lineup. It was fantastic. And they actually scored on us essentially without us touching the ball on the kickoff.
Yeah, what's that like? I mean, I don't mean to say anything critical of the USL here, but I think we all know it's not on the level of the Bundesliga.
No, it's...
What is it like stepping on the pitch with a team that's got to be moving at like two or three times the speed that you're used to?
I think that was the biggest thing. One is how big the German players are. Mats Hummels is a massive human being and just incredibly athletic. You have to have a level of athleticism at that level that, you know, they move across the field at 150% the speed that we do, right? They just move quicker. And I think that's something I really noticed was like, wow, they are moving their bodies really fast and it looks normal to them. And then let alone when they have the ball, they move it so quickly that, you know, I'm like, wow, my neck hurts. And so I think that it was really cool, but at the same time, it's all fine margins, right? And those are players that have won the World Cup, and that's an incredible achievement to even share the pitch with them. But to realize that it's just a series of small details that add up to, you know, them being in the World Cup final and winning it. And I think it was really cool that we actually, if you go back and look at the highlights, we created a couple of chances. I think we could have equalized. And I was proud of us because, you know, after that first goal went in, we looked around, we're like, all right, let's go. And then after that, you know, the nerves kind of settled in, and it's a soccer game, whether you're playing against people who play in the World Cup or you're playing against people who have never played before. It's still a soccer game. I think that's what we forget about.
I mean, it reminds me of the, you know, to draw this into something that's about to happen. It reminds me of the U.S. Open Cup. You know, it's a important part of our soccer landscape in this country. You know, I was at Media Day and we asked you about the Open Cup, and I thought you had a really good response. So I thought I'd ask you again, just what's your opinion on all the MLS teams pulling out and controversy over the cup might continue and things like that. Just what's your thoughts on it?
I think the U.S. Open Cup is beautiful because I think it's truly a merit-based competition, and it gives teams and cities and places and families hope for something super exciting. Farolito has won two times already against Timbers 2 and against Fuego. And so I think that's what the Open Cup is. And that's the beauty of it already in just that. Right. And I think that, you know, MLS teams pulling out was unfortunate. I'm glad that some decided to stay in. But I think that, you know, their point may have been valid that there's too many games, but to announce it and to put your MLS 2 team in publicly it doesn't rub me the right way. And I think that, you know, whether you were going to play your U23 team or not, you don't say it, right? All the top teams in the world, Arsenal's not playing an FA Cup game against Lincoln City and playing all of their starters. No, no one would do that. There's too many games. But to announce it publicly, I think it was just unfortunate. But hey, we're in it and I'm excited to take the next step. And that's all I care about. And if we can put together a run in the Open Cup, I think we can win it. There's no reason we can't win it.
I like that optimism. That's the kind of optimism we generally bring to this podcast.
I firmly believe that we have a team this year that can win a championship and win an Open Cup. I firmly believe that, and I will stand by that. Because I believe in what we're doing and I believe in what this club stands for. And I think that, you know, we have the right players to do it.
So what brought you to the Roots? Or I guess first, what was your impression of the Roots from playing against them? With, I don't know if you played against the Roots with RGV, but certainly with San Diego you did.
Yes. I don't think I did play against them with RGV because that was the...
The like Mountain Pacific things, yeah. There wasn't much crossover. Yeah.
So we did not play against y'all 2021, but Roots had, when I was with Loyal, they had our number until that last game. But I think that something about Oakland was their resilience and their ability to, you know, continue to fight no matter what. And I think that they play a good brand of football that's exciting to watch and attacking oriented. I thought that that's something important for me in my career. And in general, I like to play attacking football. I like to play on the front foot. And that's something I definitely noticed about the Roots. Yeah. I'm trying to think about what the other part of the question was.
Well, what brought you here?
Yeah. What brought you here?
So, I really liked what the club was about in general. And also to have a connection here already in Jordan Farrell. And also some former players that I knew. I played with Danny Barbier in Kansas City, played with Babu in RGV. And so just having talks with them and understanding, you know, this club is serious about winning and serious about putting together a team that is going to compete and, you know, really challenge for a title. And I think that was a big, big piece for me in my career. At Loyal, I thought we were a really, really top team week in and week out. And I think that, you know, the next step was just putting together a playoff run. And so I think being here now, I have the ability to learn from what we did well at previous clubs, especially with Loyal, and, you know, learn where we might have had our faults. And I think... what I've noticed here is just a resilience and an ability to win in the crucial moments. And, you know, you can see that with the playoff history and record.
So. Yeah. We, you know, coming off big win over El Paso, just what do you think needs to sharpen up to hit those levels?
I think just continuing to create good chances going forward. We have players who could make incredible plays, as you can tell by Johnny's goal, right? And Niall's goal as well. A center back scoring that goal, incredible. And then to score a goal from 35 out is unreal, right? And so I think we have difference makers on the field. And it's just about attacking with more consistency and creating those high-quality chances more often because, you know, goals change game. And scoring a goal changes everything. And to win, you have to score. So I think just continuing to build on that confidence that we had against El Paso and take that into everything going forward. And I honestly think that game really just clicked everything for us. We're like, okay, we're back. You know, we had a 3-game rut where we were struggling to create a lot of high quality chances and put the ball in the back of the net. And we showed that we can do it 3 times. And so I think that was what we needed just to flip the switch and be like, all right, we're back clicking again.
Is there a player on the team that you would say is like poised to break out that you would say fans should have their eyes on because they're about to take it to a new level?
Ooh, That's a good question. That's a good question. You always say that.
Everyone try not to make it like a backhanded compliment. Like, who do you think's underperforming right now?
No, I think that everyone always thinks about the strike. I think Johnny's set to have a really good season. And honestly, I think that as a group, we're poised to have a good season. And hopefully we can continue to limit the amount of shots Paul has to save. Right? Because it's, I love that Paul is so talented. I love that he gets all the fantastic awards, right? But if he doesn't have to make 18 saves a game, that's what we want. And so I think that's more of a collective. It's more of a collective thing as opposed to an individual breakout. I think collectively we're gonna really tighten up and help out, you know, in the back.
I mean, that sounds to me like a great place to wrap up. Camden, thank you for your time. You know, hopefully nothing you've said here will come back to bite you in the ass in the locker room. You know, fingers crossed. I mean, we'll all be rooting for you there. But once again, thanks for coming on. It was a real pleasure.
Of course. I had a great time. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Well, if the root season is about to turn around, like we all hope and like Camden predicts, this next weekend's match against Detroit City will be a great litmus test. Detroit brings a perfect record on the season into this game, including 4-4 in the league and an Open Cup win over Michigan Stars. They're led so far this season by their talisman Maxi Rodriguez, who has 2 goals and 2 assists in the 4 league games already. This Detroit City team provides a great contrast to the Roots in that their roster is very stable, and it's probably a big reason why they've had so much early season success. Most of their preferred 11 has started every match, and many of these guys were on the roster last year as well, so if you remember last year's 1-1 draw in Hayward, you probably have a good idea of what you're going to see from Detroit City on the pitch this weekend. For the Roots, on the other hand, you can probably expect their 8th different starting lineup on the season. That's just how the chips have fallen so far this year for the Roots. Be sure to catch Peter's official preview of the match, as well as John's coverage on the blog later this week. Again, that's at oaklandrootsblog.com, and we'll look out for you at the official watch party this weekend. And until then, up the Roots.